Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us in the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline, Jeff Erdman, head football coach at Rosemont High School. They went unbeaten this season in what was the strangest season that he will ever coach, I'm sure, at the helm, where they've had a lot of different success, but not success the way that they had come by it this year. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks, Mike. Appreciate the opportunity.
You know, your first game, I believe, was wasn't it Lakeville North, and you guys had to cancel that one because of COVID. I mean, do you remember what was that like, coaching leading up to it? And I don't even know how do you get the word? Is everybody in an honor system, or is it just kids go in with symptoms? How would you even find out who has it and who doesn't at the high school level?
Well, we had a scenario where it was the Thursday before our game with Lakeville North to open the season. We found out about 12:15 in the afternoon that we had people in our program that had tested positive, and they shut the entire JV varsity down. So we did not get to practice for 2 weeks. We were on Zoom for 2 weeks, and then we came back. From that day on, it was October 7th was our last practice. From October 7th till the end of the season, we had 12 in-person practices.
Come on.
No, that's the reality.
Did you learn anything that Zoom is, or, you know, teaching that way, that there is an effective way to do it? Or did you just have great athletes and once you, you know, told them what the plays were, they could run them, or what?
Well, our guys are dialed in. They knew that we could have a special team this year. And, you know, they're just hungry to have an opportunity to show what kind of team we had. We are very deep. We've got, I think, four different guys that have been 3-year starters. And we believe we've got the best high school football player in the state, Jake Ratzlaff. And we've got a very good team. And for us to be able to get to the level we were playing our last three games, where we just dominated, is quite a statement about our guys and how serious they take their preparation for football. To have 12 practices in that time span is just mind-boggling.
Did you figure out a way, though, I mean, an effective way with Zoom so that they would somehow they were able to, whatever it was you're teaching, they were able to absorb? Did you learn a few things technically as to the best way to do that?
Well, we took different approaches, and I think there's probably a lot of high school coaches that did this this year with just trying to avoid some contact days.
Yep.
To preserve opportunities for not getting shut down. Doing a lot of game field, and those practices that we had, we'd tape those practices so then we could learn from those as well. Mm. So, those are just things you're just trying to survive and come up with opportunities for the kids to be, as best prepared as possible.
Now, wasn't it three games in 8 days or 9 days that you played?
Yeah, we played, when we got back, we had one practice, and then we played Eagan on a Friday.
Yep.
And during that game, we were hearing stuff about the Anoka district possibly going to distance learning and that they were shutting sports down.
Yeah.
And so after that game, we called people that had missed a game and were trying to schedule a game, and we got to play Woodbury the next Monday.
So you took Saturday, Sunday off, or was it a Thursday game, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off and played?
Well, we played Friday, and then Saturday was off. We watched film on Zoom, and Sunday we did a Zoom session game plan for Woodbury. Woodbury at that time was ranked fourth, and they had beaten Moundsview and Stillwater and scored over 40 points in both games. So we took on a 2-0 team, and we beat them 9-7. And so with 1 day of practice in 17 days. So we're very proud of how our guys responded to, incredible situations.
What does that tell you, though, about, I mean, I hate to, you know, devalue practice and all those things, but, you know, at every level, the NFL didn't have the off season. Certainly the Big Ten didn't, et cetera. Are kids smarter maybe than we think? And if you show it to them a couple times and they're athletic, they can figure it out?
Well, I think there's, you know, your offensive defensive schemes of having a base to start from. We were definitely not as complicated as we have been in the past years when you have more opportunity to teach concepts to a deeper level. And our guys, we just let our guys play football. And we obviously we had a very good team, and our guys went out and performed. You know, we're pretty excited about what we accomplished this year. And obviously Lakeville South and Eden Prairie, you know, very good football teams as well.
Yeah, the other unbeaten ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we actually played them last year, so we know they're good. We ended up beating both of those teams last year on their home fields.
Yeah, you beat Eden Prairie in that thriller of a section game, right?
Yep, in overtime. And so we know they're very good football teams. And, you know, all three of us, you know, we can't really control, obviously, what's happening with the postseason. All three of us would want to have an opportunity to continue to play and play this out, but, you know, that's not going to happen. So
you mentioned Ratzlaff, and mm-hmm. I had our photographer come back the other day to shot the game. I said, shoot some ISO this kid. And he came back, and he didn't know a lot. He said, have you seen this kid play? And I said, no, I just heard about him. He goes, you got to watch this. And he put the tape in, and it was like play after play. You know, it's hard to stand out sometimes from the positions that he plays, but he kept being where the ball was, and he'd forcing a fumble or an interception or whatever. Who is this kid? I mean, it's like, holy cow, you know, and he's got a choice to play hockey or football, and I know Wisconsin wants him bad for football, but I don't know. I haven't seen many as instinctive as that one.
Mike, I compare him to Joe Mauer. You know, Mauer was obviously a, you know, multi-sport, phenomenal athlete, and Jake Ratzlaff's in that type of discussion. I think he's, in my 30 years as a head coach, I've never seen a high school player be able to influence a game in so many different manners. I mean, in his career, he had 261 some tackles. He scored touchdowns on blocked punts. He blocked five kicks during his career. He scored on interception returns, fumble returns, receiving. He's thrown a touchdown. The kid can do everything. We think he's the best football player in the state.
Yeah, I mean, does he have that it where he just knows where the ball is going to be and you can't even explain it? Or,
well, he prepares like crazy.
Does he?
He is incredibly prepared, and he knows exactly what's going to happen. And then, you know, every play when you watch him on defense, you know he's just itching to knock the crap out of somebody, and then you watch him come up and do it every time, play after play. I've had so many people reach out to me and say, okay, that 21 you guys have is unreal.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, it's hard to describe unless you actually see it and watch film. So we're very excited for him and his future, whatever, you know, choice he makes with that. But he's the best high school football player I've been around.
Yeah, I know he's a very good hockey player, but man, son, you're going to be playing on Saturdays for sure, and I don't know what the limit is there, but they don't make them often like that, where they just stand out all the time like that. And you know, football is the hardest game to stand out in unless they're handing the ball off to you every time.
Yeah, for a non-quarterback.
Yeah, for a non-quarterback. Yeah. Now your son Jackson played at St. John's last year, of course, and they went out MIAC champs, and he was hoping to get a look from a professional team. Obviously, everything fell apart. What is he up to now, and how did he handle it all?
Well, like a lot of guys, he didn't have an opportunity with the pro day. He was able to go down and play in a spring league here recently, down in San Antonio. And so now he's just working out. He was working out with, Bateman and a lot of the Viking guys, receivers. So that was great for him to, get acclimated to.
Oh, they love having a good quarterback that wants to throw, right?
Well, yeah, it's pure fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's working out now and hoping that interest in from the CFL pans out and he gets a shot up there, and we'll see what happens.
He really had a phenomenal career, though, and you know, as the MIAC, you know, this year obviously we didn't get to see, but to do what he did and to finish it in St. Paul there when they beat, that wasn't the end of it, but when they beat St. Thomas that day, you know, maybe the last time St. Thomas plays St. John's, that was pretty storybook.
Yeah, and that venue was fantastic to have the game played there. But then, to be down 14-0, and then they just came back and kind of took care of business. And he was very fortunate. You know, St. John's is a great program, and, you know, he had a good offensive line. He had skilled receivers and running backs. So, you know, if you when you have that around you, it really helps, obviously, and be able to showcase what you can do as a quarterback.
Does he have coaching in his future, or is he not that far down the line that he knows if he wants to or not?
I don't think that's going to be the path he goes. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get too excited about that type of stuff. He knows that, you know, there's a plan and there's a path for him, and he's just kind of enjoying, you know, all the people that he meets along the way, and he loves what he does.
Yeah, for sure. Now you did. You took a look at politics a few years ago in the legislative level. Did you learn a lot from that whole process? And is it overwhelming? Are there any comparisons between that and being a football coach?
Oh wow! Probably the time commitment is pretty significant from that.
That's sure.
That was probably one of the most difficult things, you know, personally that I've gone through. Just the time commitment to try to do something like that, and. You know, the system that we have right now in our country is it's hard for people that aren't millionaires, and so
it is. I mean, it flat out is, right?
Yep. And so that's that was one of the reasons I ran, was the frustration with lack of representation from people that are actually, you know, middle class or below middle class, you know, blue collar type jobs. So that frustration's still there because we still see it.
And you probably learned that up close and personal, huh?
Very much so. Yeah.
Because the thing is, I mean, you can door knock all you want, but if somebody can make a great big buy on TV and radio, that's the game changer.
Yeah, and the big thing with that is, you know, when the people that I'm calling that, you know, for the platform that I supported, you know, they're not going to be contributing the max $2,700 contributions. And so, you know, I can see where for politicians, it's very easy to just, you know, make those calls.
Yep.
And you're getting the money from, you know, extremely wealthy people, and I can see where that's just, you know, easier. So
easier path.
Yeah, our political situation continues to be a concern, I think, for the direction we're going.
Perplexing, but I thought it was you probably got one of the great educations that you can pass along to students and everything else, because you put your you didn't just talk about it, you put your name out there, and there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, and we met some great people along the way, so that was very rewarding for our family.
Now, as you look at football in the future of, do you just kind of decompress for a little while here and say, you know, you tell us what it's going to look like next year, and we go from there? Obviously, you can't. I mean, your kids can't be in the weight room; they can't do anything right now. How are you going about the next 6 months? Say, because I know you like to prepare all year.
Yeah, Mike, I'm still just trying to get helmets and shoulder pads back.
And make sure it's been cleaned and disinfected, huh?
Yeah, so, you know, gear collection is first, and then we've got our banquet tomorrow night, our virtual banquet, so we're excited about that. And, you know, then, as a staff, trying to figure out, well, how do we do this? How do we let guys, how do we get guys to be able to have opportunities to develop themselves athletically and physically so that, you know, they can go do the things they want to do and, you know, play college football and all those types of things that, you know, high school coaches across the state have to, you know, try to figure out and provide direction for our guys.
Is there enough film on them, you think, that colleges will have a good look at them? Did you get enough games in, enough action?
I think so. I think that's a huge thing, especially for our underclassmen that played, to be able to do that. Because if we would not have had a season, you know, that's really hard on colleges.
Yeah.
Because then they don't see them unless they come there in person, and you know now you got fees and camp fees, and you got families that can't afford that, and that's it stinks that that comes into play with it. So I'm thankful that we have like Minnesota football players got to play, so that they could showcase themselves that way.
I'll make that the last question because it's intriguing to me from a social standpoint when you talk about that. But I have come to understand, and I hate to say this, but it is the truth. There are certain sports that people that don't have money have almost no chance to be successful in. Many of them, and I think that gap has grown wider and wider because we're getting so much access to training and facilities and technology. But there's football probably not as much because kids can get through it and they'll scholarship them and inside communities and associations and whatnot if they really want it, and they can find a weight room. But a lot of sports, that's just not the truth. If you don't have money for ice time, it's difficult. If you don't have money and trainers for tennis or a golf course you can play on, very difficult. Gymnastics, almost impossible if you don't have money to really train year-round. Does that bother you philosophically just when you think about it? Because it's not about athletic talent a lot of times. It is about who can afford it.
Oh, absolutely. It bothers me because as a society,
Yeah, as a society.
I'm old, so, I go back to when I was, growing up in Lewiston, and I think our fee for sports was like $10. And, now you see it, it's in the hundreds of dollars, I get frustrated that society hasn't placed value on those experiences when we had those experiences at a much cheaper price. And, if we want people to, if we want our future citizens to have discipline and work ethic and be able to, overcome adversity and all the things that come with participation in sports, we need to put money there to make sure that's happening for all of our kids and not just based on socioeconomic status.
That's right. And so that no kid needs to feel so embarrassed that they say they're not going out for the team because they don't want to, when the truth is their mom and dad said they couldn't pay the fee. That, to me, is the ultimate crime and sin in society.
Yeah, it is. And, last year, I think one of every five kids in our program was on free and reduced lunch.
Yeah, people don't realize that.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yep.
And that's just, we've got ridiculous social income inequality in our society, and we see that in the schools. And that's why schools are having to, do so many different things to try to help those families and those kids just have opportunities to succeed.
Jeff, appreciate it very much. Good conversation, and congratulations on quite a season.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Jeff Erdman, head coach at Rosemont High School.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.